Welcome everybody to the Bellevue Planning Commission meeting. My name is Michelle Hillhurst. I'm chair of the Planning Commission. And we will go ahead and get started here. So I'm going to go through roll call, noting all commissioners from the 4:30 meeting are present, minus Commissioner Carlson, who had to leave and is excused, and Commissioner Lang is still excused as well. So approval of the agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda as written.
So moved.
I hear a motion to approve the agenda. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I hear a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. All right, thank you. The agenda moves forward as written. So we are going to get to the portion of public comment. And I want to be clear, because we are doing a public hearing, we are not going to be taking any public comment on the subjects that we have before us this evening. We will have a formal public hearing portion of the evening for the Eastgate items, and at that time, that's when you will come talk about the items on the agenda. So the public comment time that we have tonight is for any items not related to the topics on the agenda this evening. Is there anyone that would like to speak to the commission about anything other than the Eastgate? I see one hand. Okay, so if you'd like to come up, and I'm going to, because we have a public meeting, go ahead and just keep it to, well, we'll just go ahead with up to 5 minutes. And if you could state your name and address for the public record, that would be great.
Pamela Johnson, 3741 122nd Avenue, Northeast, Bellevue. I'm here to speak today about tree canopy issues relating to the low impact development issue that was studied. Basically, it comes down to if we're going to change things, let's change them right. The first thing is 40% tree canopy master plan. The city should develop a coordinated plan for the comp plan policy of 40% tree canopy. It is an important cultural and environmental resource. While we recognize the enterprise neighborhood differences, we can't wait 7 years for neighborhood comp plans to start the process across the city. The lack of trees is a significant environmental justice issue and that recovers on a slow timeline. What is the health of our urban forest? Are trees aging out? We need a strategic, focused investment with stewardship. Second, create an urban forestry commission. Improving the health and sustainability of the urban forest is complex and needs to be understood across the policy areas. The distribution of the forest is a social justice issue. The value of trees goes beyond its carbon impact. Nurturing trees is not done by experts. Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, and other Washington cities have adopted urban forestry commissions. Retrieve trees after development. Trees planted or retained due to requirements for development or redevelopment should not be allowed to be cut without replacement. Right now, this is what the proposal is for the low impact design. Owners are not required to keep these trees. Single families have no requirement. While short divisions, subdivisions, and new plan unit development are required to put it on a map. Retain landmark trees for the community. Landmark trees should be considered important community resources because of unique or trustworthy characteristics or value to the community. Landmark trees should not be retained only for new development. So LID is saying that they are talking about only new development or redevelopment. So landmark trees on regular properties could be cut. Community input for landmark trees. Notice to the public should be required for any tree retention issues where a tree meets minimal standards. Historical significance and cultural importance should not be determined by staff. Determination of the value of the tree. So right now, if it's a landmark tree, there's no public input into whether it gets cut or not cut. 50% tree canopy for parking. Increase the requirement to a minimum of 50% tree canopy at 15 years of construction. One tree for only 20 stalls is not enough, even for downtown. Factoria has 1 through 12 spaces. California cities have tree canopy of 50% required for parking lots. This minimizes the human urban heat effect. If you've been trying to find the shady spots lately, you understand the heat impact here. And it also is impactful for stormwater development. And change the statement that says visual relief and shade shall be provided in the parking area. The visual relief, shade, and stormwater management should be provided in the parking area. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Anyone else want to speak to the commission about anything other than Eastgate this evening? Okay. All right. Seeing none. We will move on, and with that, The public hearing, just want to lay out some guidelines. I do have a sign-in sheet here for the public hearing. I will go through the sheet. There was a little portion that says check here if you'd like to speak during the commission, during the public comment. Some people mark it, some people don't. I'm going to run through every name, and if you don't want to speak, that is totally fine. You just say, nope, don't want to come up, because some people don't see that, and I'd rather call your name and give you an opportunity than completely assume and skip by you. So, and then when your name is called, you will come down here to the seat. There's a small device here, and it has green, yellow, red. So it will go. So please watch that. You have up to 5 minutes. When it gets to yellow, I'd say wrap it up, because when you get to red, I'm going to politely interrupt you and say your time is up so that we can move on to the next speaker. So I have 4 to 5 pages, and with everyone at 5 minutes each, this is going to be a long evening. So you also have the option, if you are one of the later speakers, if your points have been made, you can just say, you know what, my comments have been made by somebody else, I'm totally fine. That's also an option as well. So I just want to lay that out. And then also just, I think that's it. So with that, I would entertain a motion to open the public hearing for Eastgate.
So moved.
Okay. I was like, let's go home. All right, I hear a motion to open. Do I hear a second? All right, here's a second. All in favor say aye. Any opposed say nay. All right, our public hearing is now open. So the first two speakers, Mr. Callahan and Mr. McCullough, I know you're coming down. Would you like 5 each?
I think 10 together.
10 together?
I think we'll use it all.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, I am so sorry.
Oh, Steph.
I am so sorry. I apologize. It says public hearing first on the agenda.
There you go. Have a seat.
Okay, so
Ms. Byers, I'm sorry, but I was told public hearing was first.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
With the public hearing, we do the presentation first, and then we hear from everybody.
So I don't know who did the agenda, but they did it backwards. I am so sorry.
I'm so sorry. So,
all right,
Mr. Collin, do I need to stand up there to present?
We will close the public hearing for the staff meeting then. All right.
Good evening. My name is Trish Byers. I'm the Co-Development Manager for Development Services in the City of Bellevue. We're here today to talk about the Eastgate Code revisions that are before the Planning Commission. The Eastgate Citizens Advisory Commission discussed this for a couple of years, 2010 to 2012. They discussed this in relation to both transportation and land use. And the purpose of this whole project is here up above, and you can see that. I thought it was important to go back and look at and see what they said their purpose was with respect to the final report that they issued in 2012. And you can see that they were looking at the conditions, policies, and regulations in the Eastgate area to produce a plan that builds on the area's assets of accessibility, visibility, job diversity, and stable nearby residential neighborhoods. So when the CEC completed their work and issued their final report, they came up with recommendations for amendments to the comprehensive plan and the subarea plan. Most of those recommendations went into the subarea plan for Eastgate, the transportation plan, and the land use code. And we're here talking about the land use code. Of course, all of this sort of dovetails together, which is why we're going to be talking a lot about transportation today, because we heard you at the open house that we had a few weeks ago and the concerns about transportation. So we're going to spend some time talking about transportation and transit and how this plays into the land use code changes that we're proposing. So this is how we have this in the transportation plan. It's a little bit different, this flow chart, in the comprehensive plan. Volume 1 of the comprehensive plan is the broadest goal, the framework, the goals, the general elements that you normally would have in a comprehensive plan for the city. Volume 2 has the sub-area plans and the transportation facility plans, and that, again, is really broad. So the sub-area plan would be the Eastgate plan that we're talking about here today. So as a part of the comprehensive plan, as it gets more specific, you would have regulations, which land use codes would be a part of, and you would have plans, which would have transportation facilities plans and capital facilities plans. And as those plans are implemented, as we go from vision down to implementation, the plans being implemented is when transportation actually gets to the point where they're constructing projects. And Mr. Miller's here, and he's here to talk to you about that a little bit later, and he'll go through the process with you. With respect to the land use code amendments, after they are adopted by the city council, they actually are adopted and they go into the land use code, and then as the development projects are submitted to development services, there's a review that goes on by different departments. And during that review, all of those codes are sort of a check, it's like a checklist to ensure that that project meets all of those requirements. And at the end, the project should look like we've discussed. So that's how the implementation happens. The developer is the one who actually constructs the project on that side. What's important to notice all the way down is that we get more specific, more concrete as we go. And the other thing to notice is that there's environmental review that goes along the way at each stage. Environmental review. It's the State Environmental Policy Act. A long time ago, when this was actually enacted, it actually covered a lot of things, including critical areas and those kinds of things, wetlands, all those things. It was sort of an umbrella that covered everything. Now it covers a lot less because we have ordinances that cover things like critical areas, things like, wetlands, all of those things, and air pollution, a lot of other things are covered with other statutes, with other ordinances. So now SEPA is really supposed to be the things that aren't covered by other ordinances or laws. So one of those things is traffic. And what I wanted you to know about this, there are a couple of things that came up as we were looking at comments and we were talking with people at the open house. One of the things was that there was a concern about notice. With respect to the new zones that are being created or proposed to be created. And in particular, there was concern about the neighborhood mixed use, which would be citywide, only apply to the Eastgate area, which we'll talk about in a minute, and also the office limited business 2, which would only be applied in the Eastgate area for now. Those were actually created as a part of the comprehensive plan amendment in 2015, and were a part of what the CAC recommended. They also went through the notice process as required. The transportation facilities plan that Eric will be talking about also had SEPA review. I believe they did, as he told me, they did an addendum this time, SEPA addendum this time, but the time before they actually did an EIS, which is the full-blown review. And then with respect to the land use code amendment, for those of you who looked at the packet, we actually did SEPA review with respect to the land use code review. And I just put some of the traffic volume numbers up there. And the only thing that I really wanted you to notice up there is that the true change is just growth. It's not about the land use and the transportation with the preferred alternative, really, because as you see, it goes from, let's look at the first of those two, which is increased traffic volume. If there's no land use or transportation as recommended by the CAC, if we make no changes, there's still 21% increased traffic volume. If we do the preferred alternative, which is both land use and transportation, is 27% increased traffic volume in 2030. If we do the land use alternative without the transportation, the transportation changes recommended by the CAC is 26% increased traffic volume. So the incremental increase based on, as far as the CAC recommendations are concerned, are not as much as what we're talking about just with general growth, which is that 21% increase in traffic volume. So it's coming. And what we're trying to do is we are trying to manage that growth in a way that works for people. So as far as CEQA is concerned, the last thing that we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk in great detail in a little bit, is the development project review. And in that part of it, that's where the rubber really hits the road, because that's where we can tell how many trips are generated and what's going to happen to that intersection, and how can that be mitigated, if at all. So that's the kind of environmental review. It goes through layers several times. It goes through a review several times. So the land use code amendments. I'm going to do a real brief discussion, and I know that some of you were asking questions about what those colors make on that map, and I'll go through that when we get there. Okay, so there are three new districts that are proposed. The first is the Eastgate Transit-Oriented Development, which is, if you know the area, which you probably do, would be east of the Eastgate Park and Ride, which is why I have a picture up there. It would be south of Dalby College, just south of here. And it would be to leverage the Park and Ride. The second district that's proposed is the OLB2. This was specifically in response to Expedia going downtown. And what the employers were saying was we need those services that the employees want, like a place to go to lunch, where we can walk to go to lunch, where we can go to get our dry clean. So we need to be able to get those uses really close to where these people are working, because that's what they want. So we've been working on that OLB2, and we'll look at where that zone is. And then the neighborhood mixed use is really a mixed use place where you'd have some residential and some commercial, like Albertsons, and it's over by Albertsons. And that would be mostly commercial, retail, those kinds of things that would serve the local neighborhood. So within each zone, we went through, and if you look at the packet, it's pretty long. But as you go through, if you look at it and you think about, okay, what zone am I in? What are we talking about? Are we talking about uses? Or are we talking about dimensional requirements? Which, for the most part, what you should be thinking about are floor area ratio and height, development standards, things like landscaping, things that are required, and then design guidelines. And those usually have should. It should look like this. It should take advantage of the Mountain Stone Greenway. It should connect to that kind of thing. Okay, here's the map. So I'm going to run through these pretty quickly. CB is community business. O is office. All of the R's are residential. So if there's a number behind it, what that means is it's 20 units. If it's R20, it's 20 units per acre. If it's R10, it's 10 units per acre. So whatever the number is, it's that number of units per acre. Obviously, the higher it goes, you're going to have more units. It's going to be more likely multifamily. NMU, as you can see, is down to the southeast, which would be sort of the Albertsons area, just to orient you. So it's sort of that 148th, 150th south of I-90. And that's neighborhood mixed use. OLB is office limited business, which is a current zone. OLB is 2 is the one more expanded uses that we're proposing because of the Expedia issues. That R5 right on top, that's actually Bellevue College. And we're not proposing that change. What I didn't say is the thick